Colorado winning impressively by a 5-1 count.
Yeah, all the Avalanche accomplished there was failing to give John Gibson an opportunity to make his 40th save of the night. He finishes with 39. The Avalanche outshoot the Ducks 44-30 and skate away with a 5-1 victory.
You know what comes to my mind with the struggling this team has been under all season long? Do you feel like the Ducks can learn not only from losses but playing these teams? You know, like the Colorados, like the Kings, like Vegas, like the New York Rangers, Carolina, and learn something moving forward into the upcoming seasons?
Well, I suppose there's always an opportunity to learn when you see the truly elite of the National Hockey League, and certainly the Colorado Avalanche are that. You can realize what it's going to take to get to the level to which you aspire. And for the Ducks right now, it must seem like an awfully big jump.
Yep.
But, you know, we've seen other teams over the years improve dramatically from one season to another. It generally takes some personnel changes. But the Ducks have some good pieces here.
Yep.
They really do. But they're going to need to augment that with more good pieces in order to be able to compete in this league on an every night basis.
And late in the season, knowing that you're not going to make the playoffs, you're looking ahead to the future. I guess the time between a game like this and the game in Seattle coming up on Thursday night there in that fairly new arena, you teach a little bit if you're the coaching staff. You go out there, work on some things, and hopefully you come out stronger, maybe a better team effort. And all you think you want to do, Dan, is learn how to compete and be successful. And it's tough right now with what we have to look at.
Well, it is. And we mentioned on the pregame show, Steve, one of the keys to the game was to just try to hang around.
Yep.
And the Ducks were able to do that through the first period and actually had a lead until late in the first period. And then early in the second, when Colorado got the two quick goals less than 2 minutes apart, that's where the game really changed from being a competitive endeavor to one where the Ducks were just trying to hang on and not get embarrassed. And certainly with Colorado, that is always a possibility. And I think the point here is the Ducks right now, given their current makeup, they can hang with good teams for a while, but it's really hard to do that over the course of 60 minutes. They have done that on occasion this season, such as the earlier meeting with the Avalanche in Denver, but that has usually required a stupendous goaltending effort from either John Gibson or, as was the case in Edmonton in December, I believe it was, when Lukáš Dostal played out of his mind. So right now, that's what it takes. It takes tremendous goaltending and really your A game. And it's hard to bring that over the course of 60 minutes.
All right, final question for you. Seattle, Edmonton, Calgary, three tough places to win games. What do you expect in this upcoming road trip?
Well, it's going to be tough. There's no question, because all of those teams are playing for something. The Kraken lost tonight at Minnesota, and, you know, they are apparently destined for the playoffs, but they're not a sure thing, and they're going to be looking for points to secure a first-ever postseason berth in their second season. Edmonton, obviously, still vying at least for home ice advantage, if not the Pacific Division title. And the Calgary Flames are truly in desperation mode, as their playoff chances are certainly in jeopardy right now. So the Ducks are going to face motivated opponents in every game, and go back to the same point. It'll take a really tremendous effort by the Ducks to get points out of any of those buildings.
All right. Well, we'll see you in Seattle.
I will be there.
All right. Climate Pledge Arena. If you can't be there in person, fans, 6:30, our airtime, our 30-minute pregame show on a Duckstream powered by TuneIn. 7 o'clock for a play-by-play. Same time in Edmonton on that Saturday, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock play-by-play. And to end the road trip at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, that's going to be a 4:30 pregame start. 5 o'clock for the play-by-play, and then back home to take on the Oilers on the 5th of April. Hey, coming up in just a matter of a minute or two, you're going to hear our Anaheim Ducks play of the game as we intro Josh Brewster's Duck Calls, his post-game segment. It's brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, you can visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go Ducks. For everyone up here in the booth, for Dan Wood and Josh Brewster, who's next with Duck Calls, have a good night, and we will talk to you from Seattle later in the week. Josh is next here on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available. With live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call. Touchdown.
ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9 and when an argument
plus is being ad-free made music and news just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
When that goal siren goes off, it just hits right. And now you can hear a different kind of buzzer, thanks to TuneIn's exclusive Jeopardy! Stations. Stream iconic moments from past episodes on Jeopardy! Classic Station.
What is the organ?
Or stream full episodes with modern champions on the flagship Jeopardy! Station.
Gotcha.
What is a parrot?
All right on the same device when you're listening to Duckstream. Ready to test your knowledge? Buzz in right here on TuneIn.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Nichushkin to the far side of the rink. Kept in by Colorado. Retrieved by McKinnon. Look out here late in the period. Turns. Shoots. He scores! What a shot. McKinnon up high with a snapper. And with 7.9 to go in the period, Colorado jumps ahead by a 2-1 count.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. That's 714-940-2888 tonight. This is why they call them the champs. Avalanche 5, Ducks 1. Well, the start was good. We've talked about needing a good start. The Ducks brought the start. It was not going to be enough. That goal that you just heard from Nathan McKinnon, who else, really tipped the scales there. A goal and an assist tonight for McKinnon. But, boy, he is so much to that club. You know, some folks are trying to get their hands on Anthony Fantilli from the University of Michigan. They're hoping second overall in this draft, and that is what they hope is the second coming of Nathan McKinnon. And I'll tell you something. That is one powerful, powerful player to emulate. So 5-1 tonight. The start was good. The defensive zone pursuit was good, but it's not enough. Your back check has to match your forecheck. There's one thing about Colorado tonight. their back check was just as solid as their forecheck. And once they dug their heels in and made it 2-1, it was on for the Colorado Avalanche. You're talking two very quick goals, a minute and 41 seconds apart, from 3-1 to 4-1, that is. And so at 4-1, you had suffered four goals against over the course of 8 minutes and 3 seconds from the end of the first period into the second period. So that bunch of four goals over that 8 minute and 3 second sequence, that did it for Colorado tonight. Ducks, okay, Trevor Zegras goes out. That's not good news. I'm hoping this is nothing serious. Troy Terry did not play tonight. And, of course, you don't have Adam Henrique. I just named three big reasons why you were not going to surprise the Colorado Avalanche tonight. You stung them once before earlier in the season, but a little bit too depleted a lineup. That said, Derek Grant was the best Duck on the ice tonight. He was asked to play an expanded role. He was asked to take even more face-offs. He was 11-6 in the face-off circle. He had our goal. He had four shots on net tonight, played 18 minutes and 34 seconds. I thought he played one of his best games of the season. What do you think? 714-940-2888. But that line of Silverberg, Grant, and Comtois, 11 shots on goal tonight. So, you know, and they took a tough matchup for quite a bit of the night. They had to go up against McKinnon, Nichushkin, and Rantanen. Mikko Rantanen, of course, having authored 48 goals on the season. So, you know, this is a tough club. And once they sink their teeth in, I just don't think the Ducks were coming back from the 4-1 deficit. That's just not going to happen. It's unfortunate because it's a bit of a tricky game here tonight because I think we have a phone ring in there. It's a bit of a tricky game here tonight because the pursuit on the Ducks side I thought was good. But, boy, when they get cycling, when Colorado gets cycling and passing and battling and picking up those loose pucks, I just don't think we were beating this club tonight once they established, you know, that multi-goal lead, even 3-1. I think, this was one of those games where I think the Ducks were going to have to get ahead, stay ahead, and it just didn't happen tonight. Getting ahead and staying ahead did not happen. If you're waiting on the line, I'm about to get to you, 714-940-2888. Pick up that phone. Tell me what you thought. It's a 1-6-1 homestand. That is not what we were looking for. You know, the club had turned it around quite a bit in the second half of the season, but I think this is a disappointing homestand for sure. Again, the start was good. We're worried about Zegras. And again, I'm saying back check has to match the forecheck. But this is a club, when you talk about guys like Rantanen, they get on their horse. It's a tough go. It's a tough go once those guys start flying. So 714-940-2888. Let's go to Adam. Adam is back. How you doing tonight, Adam?
I'm doing well, Josh. How are you?
Good.
Well, you touched on it. Trevor Zegras did not return to the game, and Troy Terry is out due to personal matters, which I guess is a bright spot because that's not injury related. But if they both have to miss some extended time for what they're dealing with, what are your thoughts on a potential Dylan Sakura call up? I know the Ducks traded for him in that trade with Chicago to just get a look to see what he's capable of, or would you like to see the Ducks call up a defenseman since they only have 60 on the roster?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I think there's a little different philosophy different from Pat Verbeek, from the Bob Murray, and I'll even go back to the Brian Burke era where Berkey always wanted to have eight defensemen around, especially toward the end of the season. You know what? I think that the 6D is not – I don't think that's the issue. I keep saying I'd like – there's a couple guys I'd like to see. As far as Sakura goes, you know, I have to admit I'm a little more anxious to see guys like Braden Tracy or Jacob Perreault up here. I'll take any number of guys from the Gulls to come on up and show what they've got in the last eight games. But I don't think that I don't think that was the key issue tonight was who was on defense. I just think that our defense needed a lot more help and it didn't get it on the back check tonight, Adam.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The only reason I suggest that is because it gets increasingly difficult now that you're about to embark on a road trip where you'd like to have a little bit of an insurance policy on the back end just in case something happens, reps in practice, no one's getting a break, all 60 are being heavily taxed, so maybe just some insurance there on the back end, but maybe also Pavel Regenda, give him another stint here late in the season. I know the Ducks are very high on him, as well as a couple of the other youngsters you mentioned, and Tracy or Perreault. My other question would be, are there any guys in Canadian junior leagues that have eligibility to be called up?
Wow. Okay. I don't know that one off the top of my head about who from the junior ranks we could call up. I don't think you're going to see any of that before the end of the year. I think that the call-ups would probably be from the Gulls. But, no, it's not a bad – listen, it's not a bad idea. It wouldn't be a bad idea at all, Adam, to take a seventh defenseman. That would not be a bad idea at all to take one up to Seattle and then on to Edmonton and to Calgary. Why not? But in terms of dealing with the guys who we've got here now, I just think that you have a good start, a little too shorthanded in the wrong places. If you needed a playmaker tonight, Troy Terry was not here. Adam Henrique has not been here, so it's not been a factor of late, but you can tell that the club needs him. That is for sure. I think that the homestand went south a bit because of his absence, quite honestly, and I think he may be one of our most valuable, maybe he is one of our most valuable 200-foot forwards around here. Adam, thank you for calling the show. Let's move on. I'll tell you what, you know, when you take a look at Cale Makar and what he's able to do out there and Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon, you know, it's interesting. A lot of folks just thought that Colorado was just too banged up, and they're probably right that they were too banged up earlier in the season. But, you know, they're starting to get a little more healthy now, and they're starting to come around, and they are now 1 point back of the Minnesota Wild for first place in the Central Division, kind of where they really belong. The Colorado Avalanche, I mean, listen, if they have their health, they could easily walk right back to the Stanley Cup final. Well, not easily, but they are definitely a contender, obviously, as the current Cup champs. They're very, very tough. And I'll tell you what, when you say goodbye to Darcy Kemper and you go and get the backup from the New York Rangers, which was a great choice in Georgiev, tonight it was Johansson who stumped us. But that was a very good move by the Colorado Avalanche. Georgiev has done a great job for them this year. He's been lights out at times, and he certainly picked up his game as things have gone on. Again, Derek Grant, to me, was the best Duck on the ice tonight. He proved it with that goal. And, you know, one thing, the Ducks were trying to get some traffic in front tonight. The Ducks did manage to get some second and even third chances tonight, but it's just too powerful a club you were going up against. John Gibson, he made some good saves tonight. He was not great tonight, but I'll tell you what, the first three Colorado goals, every single one of them involved a screen. And I'm talking at least one or two players involved in the screen, drawing our defensemen into the screen. You know, on Jack Johnson's goal, you've got Kevin Shattenkirk and Matt Nieto stacked up, Simon Benoit ahead of them. On Nathan MacKinnon's snipe, you've got Mikko Rantanen stacked up with Cam Fowler, and that was a tremendous shot by Nathan MacKinnon. And so and then on Byram's shot, you've got O'Connor stacked up with Benoit. Three big screens to make it 3-1, and 3-1 almost cemented it. 4-1 pretty much did, and then it was just time for Colorado to be as responsible defensively as they could. Not that they didn't get a bunch of offensive zone chances, they did. Interesting, at the midpoint tonight, the shots were 22-13, but at the midpoint tonight, it was already 4-1 Colorado. One point that I'll make tonight, and I do think this does speak to a level of sacrifice and desperation, Ducks blocked 19 shots tonight. They also almost doubled, about 25% increase in hits tonight to 11. that doesn't tell you that much. But I do think that 19 blocks tonight tells you that they did step up their game in the defensive zone, to a great degree. Just too tough a club. When they get cycling, the Colorado Avalanche are too tough a club. And it's too bad when it was 2-1, I started to think about that old adage, don't play the score, play the game. I've heard that from Dallas Eakins. I've heard that from a lot of hockey guys over the years. And this was an instance where it kind of made sense, where, you know, when it was 2-1 after the first period, I was hoping, will the Ducks be able to respond to this, because their heads should be held high. They played pretty well in that first period. They were better man-on-man in the defensive zone. They had a better compete level, you know, and it just they just could not get it done. Don't play the score, play the game. If they could have just had faith and kept jamming the forecheck real hard, maybe something could have changed. But, again, 4 goals over the course of 8 minutes and 3 seconds. So Colorado salted it away there. All right, I'm going to come back with Mr. Paul Edmonds. He is the radio voice of the Winnipeg Jets right here on Duck Calls. And I'll take your calls in a little bit. Let's talk to Paul Edmonds. And I will be right back. Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Be right back.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down 3 positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act. The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Join the Orange Alliance today and get the best benefits, including a 20% discount on concessions and beer in celebration of our 30th anniversary season. For a limited time, when you purchase your membership, you will score a one-of-a-kind 30th anniversary Mighty Ducks jacket. Place your deposit now at AnaheimDucks.com/OA. AnaheimDucks.com/OA. All right. My guest tonight is Mr. Paul Edmonds. He is the radio voice of the Winnipeg Jets, who you just saw here the other day in Anaheim. And he does a great job, longtime hockey guy, great guest. And here he is now, Mr. Paul Edmonds. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Real good. I enjoyed the game tonight. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's a pretty good team that the Ducks faced. And I thought for a young group, the Ducks are, they had some opportunities to make it a little bit closer than 5-1. But other than that, I'm pretty good. I'm sure people in Orange County are very happy tonight. But I do like the fact that they've got a good young team there, and there's a lot of promise, I think. And, you know, you get Drysdale back and Adam Henrique back, and that's a different team. And who knows, maybe you're in the sweepstakes for Connor Bedard too, which could change the whole dynamic and fortunes of a franchise in 1 year.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, you know, the Ducks started the game well, and that's been an issue with any struggling club. But the Ducks started the game real well, I thought, in the first period. But, boy, there's that 8 minutes and 3 second sequence from the end of the first period into the second period. Colorado dumps 4 pucks in your net. And now what are you going to do?
Well, listen, you're talking to a guy that has seen the Colorado Avalanche a lot because they play in the same division. And I remember the days not that long ago where Colorado wasn't very good, and they turned it around real quick. And that's what they do to you. You know, they talk about Rantanen and MacKinnon and some of the other weapons they have. You know, Nichushkin up front, and a guy that is from the area that I live in, and Darren Helm, and what he does as a veteran. But for me, it all starts in the back end. I mean, when you throw out the defensive core that they have in Johnson and Johnson and Makar, Taves, Bowen Byram, Sam Girard, I mean, they're a lot of the same player, but they're not. I mean, they all skate very well, and they can jump up into the play, and they cycle well in the offensive zone. And that just creates some space because you're kind of watching for them. And, and there's Rantanen. Oh, there's MacKinnon. I mean, that's what happens when you play the defending Stanley Cup champions. That's why they've gotten so good, is because they are so deadly with a five-man operation on the ice. And so that's what happens. I mean, you play a pretty good first period. I agree with you, Josh. I thought, you know, for the most part, the Ducks, they had some chances right down Broadway a couple of times. McTavish had one in the first period where, you know, I thought Silverberg had a really good game overall. His line was kind of the one that was churning tonight. But, you know, the game got away from the Ducks in the second period, and they give up a couple of goals, and Colorado scores four straight. So, you know, you're probably not going to come back against a team like that, especially with the way they're kind of gearing up toward the end of the season and then to make another run to defend their title. So, you know, you don't play hockey the right way, and you don't certainly get the puck out in the few opportunities that you had. And within 6 minutes, the game changes, and it changes forever because you just don't get it back against Colorado. But you're right. It did change on a couple of goals, a couple of minutes, but that's what Colorado does so well. And they've been doing it for the last couple of years against pretty much everybody in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, indeed, and they really do deserve credit for tonight. Three goals by defensemen, Paul. Jack Johnson, Bowen Byram, and Sam Girard all recorded goals tonight. And when you've got that, as you mentioned, coming from the back, and that is tough. I'll tell you what's tough, Paul. Trevor Zegras went out and was not involved in the third period with that lower body injury, and then Troy Terry had to miss the game tonight. And then, of course, Adam Henrique has been injured. So, I mean, if you know, you're talking about Zegras, Terry, and Henrique being absent, that is not going to help. And, you know, Derek Grant was carrying a lot of water tonight. I thought he did a very good job, as you mentioned, his line with Comtois. And Comtois created that first goal, by the way, in large part by beating and icing. So it was that line that drew the lineup against Rantanen and MacKinnon. But, you know, Grant carried a lot of water, but at the same time, it was just too much. But, Paul, when you're talking subtracting Zegras, Terry, and Henrique, that's going to be a rough one for this Anaheim Ducks club.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I watched Trevor Zegras the other night play against the Winnipeg Jets, and the puck gets on his stick, and there is he's a dynamo. He just is. I mean, there's just some things that he can do with the puck, with his skating and with his finesse and the way he reads the ice, and he's that nouveau player in the National Hockey League. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I got to hand it to the kid. He tried to stay in the game. I think he hurt his right knee or ankle in the first period. He went to the net, got kind of tangled up a little bit, or maybe it was in the second period, pardon me. Yeah. He went to the net and he got kind of tangled up in front of the net, and he just kind of turned his right leg awkwardly. And I don't know if it's knee or if it's an ankle or what it is, but there's something that was bothering him afterward. He tried to kind of power through it. You could just see in watching him that he was laboring and he was struggling. And let's just hope that it doesn't keep him out for a very long time and it's just a tweak of something and he'll be okay. But you lose that guy in your lineup, and, I mean, that's a guy that can kind of change the game with one shot, right, because he has that ability. And, you know, you go to 4-2 at any point in that game, and then there's that belief that kicks in for the Ducks again. From that standpoint, well, you just didn't get it, and you don't get it from a guy that's maybe only 60% on the ice because he's tweaked something in his right knee or ankle, and then he has to leave the game. And like you mentioned, Troy Terry didn't play for personal reasons, so, you know, he's out, and that's a lot of your young firepower that plays in your top six. And not only that, but if you ever got a power play opportunity, there's a couple guys that come off your power play that you have to replace with other guys. So, you know, it kind of throws everything in flux, but you really hope that Trevor Zegras isn't hurt long term here, and it's just something that, you know, he'll be reevaluated tonight, maybe tomorrow, and be able to go for the next game.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, things are getting very interesting in the NHL playoff race, and the Jets are, you know, Jets are hanging on there. So let's talk about the Central Division for just a few minutes here. I want to start with the Minnesota Wild. We've talked about the Avalanche, but, boy, Paul, you see a lot of the Minnesota Wild, and I have got to be impressed. You know, they beat Seattle tonight 5-1. They're still 1 point up on Colorado. Matt Boldy got a hat trick. They don't have Kirill Kaprizov. And they've been coming on strong. And, oh, look, their goaltending between Gustafson and a resurgent Marc-Andre Fleury is looking real scary. If this keeps up in the last chapter of the season here, I think Minnesota is they won't be a wild card, but they will certainly be a dark horse, even if they finish first. And I think Minnesota is looking pretty threatening over your way.
I would agree. And it's funny, too, because you always go with what you've seen head-to-head with the team that you follow and cover. And Winnipeg has not had much of an answer for Minnesota in the games that they played this year. They played them three times and lost all three times. Now, the last time was a lot closer in Winnipeg, and they've got them coming up again in April one more time. But Minnesota just seems to have gathered strength as they've gone along in the season. And this is a team now that has seven wins and points in nine of its last 10. So, you know, they win again tonight. I got a funny feeling it's going to be a battle between them and Colorado for that top spot in the Western Conference, maybe, to battle certainly with Vegas. But also certainly, I think more specifically in the Central Division. Is Dallas still in there? Sure. But I just kind of don't see Dallas turning it up a notch to match the two teams, one that we saw tonight and then the other that won again, as you mentioned, with Matt Boldy getting a hat trick. They just seem to be able to find some players to go along to absorb the absence of Kirill Kaprizov, who got hurt against the Winnipeg Jets, by the way, a couple of weeks back. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens with this group. But, you know, the way Colorado was trending, you thought, okay, they're going to run away with the division eventually. But it looks like it's still a three-horse race. But I think it's really shaping up to be 1-1A here, Minnesota and Colorado down the stretch. I'm not sure if they have some games against each other, but if they do, when it comes down to, you know, April 13th for first place in the division and conference between those two teams, it would be awful interesting, and the intrigue, I think, continues right to game 82 of the regular season. But that's interesting for me. And then, you know, I think what Winnipeg's doing right now is just trying to hang on to what they have, Josh, and that's that last wild card spot in the West.
So, Paul, let me ask you this. What is the reaction in Jetland? Of course, we saw you here a couple of days ago. Tell me about what the fan base is thinking. You know, Kevin Cheveldayoff is known to be a bit conservative, and I don't think trade deadline day is a bad day to be conservative. I think there's a lot of mistakes made. But, you know, Winnipeg, they could get one of these spots. They're still up 4 points on Calgary, and you never know what could change. You've got Connor Hellebuck. He's been very good at points this season, and he's, you know, a leading netminder in my view. But tell me very briefly where you think the Jets stand, and what is the reaction to what happened or didn't happen at the trade deadline up your way?
Okay, first off to the reaction. You know, this was a team that not that much further back from the All-Star break and the players' break was challenging for first place in the conference. And then they kind of got toward the players' break, and they were banged up, and they were tired, and, you know, there was a lot of stress certainly on the schedule. I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but when you're fixated in the middle of the continent, the league thinks, and it just wasn't this year, but the league thinks that you're able to go from the West Coast back home for one, out to the East Coast, back home for one, back to the West Coast again sometimes. So, you know, sometimes within a week and a half, you've seen three coasts and two of them be the same. And that happened this year again. And, I mean, it just kind of beats you up with the travel and whatnot. So in saying that, you know, I think what Kevin Cheveldayoff did at the deadline to get Nito Niederreiter, to get Vladislav Namestnikov, I think were two great additions. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he upgraded certainly his forward core. I think the one area that the market really wanted to see was maybe something on the back end, like a Luke Shen, a right shot defenseman that's rugged, that plays hard, that can hit and block shots and play physical if you have to. And if he has to drop the gloves, he has that in his back pocket as well. So, you know, but there's still a lot of defensemen on this Winnipeg Jets blue line. So, you know, the management thought that they had done enough. I'm not sure that the fans are ever happy unless, of course, you're winning Stanley Cups every year. So there is that dichotomy there. But, you know, I think that what the Winnipeg Jets are trying to do, as I mentioned, is just hold on to what they have here. And, you know, is that going to excite the fan base enough? Well, I don't know. I mean, I've always thought that a stretch drive to try to secure a playoff spot is exciting. They've got to win some games. They've got a winnable game coming up tomorrow against San Jose for sure. And then you still have a game each with Calgary and Nashville, and both of them are at home, and those two teams are chasing you. So when I talked about certainly going down to game 82 and April 13th for the Winnipeg Jets, it could very well come right down to that to secure that last playoff spot in the West and that last wild card spot. So, I mean, it should be exciting. I don't know that, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Winnipeg Jets backing their way into it. Well, they haven't exactly done that. They had a playoff spot for months, and they haven't relinquished that yet. So from that standpoint, I mean, you've got to win the games that you have to win. Tomorrow would be the first one on that. And then I think as you kind of roll along and you get home, and you're going to go home for five after this, and you're going to be home for a little while, so you can make some hay while the sun shines from that standpoint on the schedule. You still have a game against Calgary at home and a game against Nashville at home. You take care of those, and you should be in no problem from that standpoint. But there is some intrigue for sure. There's some interest, but I think from the market standpoint, there's some nervous trepidation around this club right now.
Well, listen, they certainly put enough points in the bank earlier in the season to where they're still charging hard toward a playoff berth, and you never know. So let's talk about the East for just a moment or two here, Paul. Tonight, interesting game. The Islanders toppled the New Jersey Devils. You know, I think we've got an interesting first-round matchup shaping up in the Metropolitan Division. It looks, and I don't think it'll go any other way here, but it looks like the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers are going to square off. Let's talk about that one for a minute. I'm going to argue that even if they finish ahead of the Rangers, which they are up by four right now, mm-hmm. I think the pressure's kind of on the Devils. I have to see the Rangers as a favorite in that one, but I think it would be great for hockey to see that one.
Well, I love you like a brother, but I don't agree with you on that one. I think
all
the
right,
pressure's on
it.
The Rangers.
That's why we have the show. That's why we have the show.
Well, and the reason I say that is, I mean, the Rangers got to the Eastern Conference Final last year, right? The Devils just get back in here for the first time in 100 years. So, you know, who's the pressure really on? I think it's on the Rangers, not the Devils, even though that the Devils might finish ahead of the Rangers and have home ice advantage. I still think that all the pieces are still there from a team that got to the Western Conference Final. So the expectation is that you're going to get there again or beyond. But I like seeing the Devils in. I mean, they didn't start out very well. There was chance of fire Lindy, right? And they rattled off 13 or 14 wins in a row, and then they appalled the fans. We're sorry, Lindy, is the chant. And, you know, it's been great. It's been a great story there and a market that really is trying to cement itself in Newark for sure, right? And so this is good. I mean, they've got a good young team. They've done it right. They've built through the draft. So they've got some good goaltending that's kind of come around, and they've done it with some trades as well, and Dougie Hamilton, and boy, they're a young, exciting team that plays hard and they play fast. And you've got guys like Hughes and Heischer and you know, Jesper Brodd, and then some veterans, and they've got a little bit of toughness, and they got a guy out of here that not that long ago was lighting it up for the San Jose Sharks, and Timo Meier. They're the big winners in that trade. So I like the Devils. I don't know. For me, that's still a pick'em series, but I would have to disagree with you, Josh. I think the pressure's on the Rangers in that series, not the Devils.
All right. Now let me ask you about the Carolina Hurricanes real quick. Do you think it's possible, you know, Svechnikov is out of the lineup, do you think that they might be in danger of running out of gas, or do you think that they circle the wagons?
Oh, I think there's enough there, even without Svechnikov. We were there a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, and they were very good. The way they play, they come at you. They just, like, let's just say this. They play a lot like their coach used to play in Rod Brind'Amour. The motor never stops, right? It's at high RPM, and it goes all the time, and it goes for 60 minutes. They move the puck. You know, the interesting part for me is watching Brent Burns outside of, you know, Minnesota, but really established himself here in San Jose. And I'm speaking to you from my hotel in San Jose, and the reason I can kind of, you know, place line this. That guy, when he gets the puck, even at an advanced age in late 30s, on a stick, off his stick, and it's just so fast, and it's part of it just feeds their transition game, right? So they go back, and he's a big guy, so he's hard to knock off the puck. And his retrieves are excellent, and then it's on a stick, off his stick, and it just way they go with their speed. And they're just really hard to contain, and they've got some good goaltending too. And from that standpoint, I see why they're in first place and probably could win that division. I mean, you know, New Jersey might have something to say about it. Still only 3 points back, but Carolina's got a couple games in hand. I like Carolina. I don't see them having much of a problem with whoever is that wild card spot that they're going to play against as the top wild card, because Boston will get the second seed wild card for finishing first in the conference. And I like Carolina. I think that, you know, unless there's a major upset, I think that they probably will get a real good, not easy streak, but they should get into their division final without a whole lot of cause for concern. They're a real good team.
All right, folks, there he is, Mr. Paul Edmonds. I want you to go on Twitter to @utilityvoice. This, you need a voice. You call, who are you going to call? You call Utility Voice, right, Paul?
Well,
he's ready for it all. He's ready for action.
20 years of baseball, right. Doing 20 years, 25 years of hockey. I called some hoops in my day as well. The only thing I think I haven't done, Josh, is lawn bowling.
Well, listen, I tell everybody, I always tell everybody, I remember Paul. I met Paul when there was a West Coast Hockey League. You remember that league. It's only three levels down from the NHL. If you were in that league, you were not going to the NHL. You were not going near the NHL. But it was a lot of fun, that league, the Bakersfield, Long Beach, and Fresno, and Colorado Gold Kings, and Alaska Aces. Jack Michaels made it to Edmonton. And one day I'm walking around in the press box up here, and who but @UtilityVoice is here as the voice of the Jets. So all is right with the world. If you see me up here and you see Paul up here, all is right with the world. Paul, it's always a pleasure to have you on Duck Calls, and I really appreciate you jumping in.
Hey, Josh, my pleasure. Anytime, man, and we'll see what happens down the stretch here. Should be some exciting couple, 3 weeks of hockey.
All right, buddy. There he is, Paul Edmonds, folks. I'll tell you what, I will be right back. Let's take a little break here on Duck Calls, and I will come back and get you some scores, get you some playoff ramifications, and we can talk Ducks, NHL, 714-940-2888.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League, and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear, with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics, Adidas, and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. With luxury suites and all event club seats, you get access to every event, all from the best seats Honda Center has to offer while enjoying the most luxurious amenities. As a special incentive for all event club seats, new multi-year agreements will now receive 3 months of free events. 3 months of free events. Visit HondaCenter.com/3. HondaCenter.com/3. T-H-R-E-E. By the way, in case you need help spelling the word three, you might have thought it was the number three. T-H-R-E-E. All right. I think you got that the first time. Okay. Let me catch you up on the late game here. It's the Edmonton Oilers 5, the Arizona Coyotes 4. It's a goal. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins ends up with the game-winning goal on a night when Edmonton had goals by five different scores for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. It's his 34th. Zach Hyman shot in his 32nd. Edmonton, lots of power on offense. We will see if they've got the D. It is Jack Campbell tonight for the win in Arizona. Kirill Vemelka gets the loss for the Arizona Coyotes. So the playoff impact there is Edmonton keeps pace. They're at 93. LA is at 96. Vegas is at 98. That's your top three in the Pacific right now. All right. And what else have I got here from the playoff race? Yes. Islanders 5, Devils 1. I mentioned this earlier. Islanders continue to solidify that first wild card spot in the East. I don't think there's any way they're catching, well, I can almost tell you for sure, there's pretty much no way they're catching the Rangers at 96 at this point. They're 11 points back. So that's where the Rangers are going to be. They may end up playing maybe, I'm sorry, the Islanders could be Islanders Carolina in the first round if this holds up. Ottawa 5, Florida 2. It's the Battle of the Tkachuks, and Florida really missed an opportunity tonight. They could have crept up and further into the race. Pittsburgh is 82. Florida missed an opportunity to go to 81. They're at 79 tonight with the loss. Ottawa moves up to 77, so Ottawa and Buffalo, who lost in a shootout tonight, are at 77. So you've got the Islanders at 85, first card, Pittsburgh at 82, the second card, Florida at 79, one spot outside of the race. Then you've got Buffalo and Ottawa at 77. I don't think either of them have a shot, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. Islanders looking good in that top wild card spot. So that catches you up on the playoff impact tonight. Paul mentioned the Nashville Predators. Matt Duchene is now week to week. And by the way, if you're week to week at this point in the season, you probably are not coming back. But Nashville's fighting for a playoff spot and fighting a significant injury bug. Matt Duchene is the latest to be forced to miss time. He's got 56 points in 71 games this year, 22 goals. He was struck in the hand by a shot from teammate Dante Fabbro in the second period the other night and was unable to return. This was in Sunday's 4-2 loss to Toronto. It was last night. After the game, Coach John Hines said that Duchene is considered week-to-week. He joins, listen to this list, on the injury list for Nashville. He joins Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Alex Carrier, Juuso Parsonen, and Mark Borowicki. So Nashville very much on the outside looking in. They've got 80 points. They're five back of Winnipeg for the last wild card. And as Paul said, they will soon meet. 714-940-2888 if you want to hop in my last few minutes here. Would love to speak to you. Interesting. I was taking a look at the decades and how scoring has gone over the decades. And the reason I looked at this is David Pastrnak, you've heard of him, of the Boston Bruins, scored his 50th and 51st goals the other night, and it's his 600th point. Pastrnak this is a contract year for him. It's been a huge year for him. So McDavid has already scored 60. Pastrnak's up to 51. And just to fill you in, we saw Mikko Rantanen tonight. He's at 48. Braden Point of Tampa at 45. And I still contend that the Lightning are waiting in the weeds. Wait till the spotlight hits them in the playoffs. Just wait. Leon Draisaitl at 45, Tage Thompson 44, and then the great eight, Alex Ovechkin's at 42. So I looked at these decades. I looked at the top 50 scorers of all time. Now, I'm talking per season. Like, Gretzky is number one. He had 92. And you go all the way through the top 50 to some guys who had 58, which is a huge season, right? So I looked at the decades, and as you could probably suspect, the 1980s, out of the last 50 top goal scorers in the history of the NHL, the top 50 goal scorers, 23 came from the decade of the 80s. It certainly was more wide-open hockey, and I got to come back to the size of the goalie gear. I just do. Do you know that this millennium, we're 23 years into this millennium, only five of the top 50 are from this millennium. From the 2000s, you have two. Now, that's mostly the dead puck era right there, including part of the 90s. The 90s, you had 12 of the top 50. The 2000s, you had two. The 2010s, you had one of the top 50 single-season goal scorers. And then the 2020s, so far, we've had two. So I thought it was interesting, and it does not surprise me at all. It probably doesn't surprise you that the 1980s really were when a lot of the great goal scorers made their mark in this league. And 23 out of the top 50 came from the 80s. Think about that one. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you another one to think about. Thursday night, we are at the Seattle Kraken. Be sure to tune in here on DuckStream, and I will talk to you then. Thank you for listening to Duck Calls. Thank you to Paul Edmonds. Go to @UtilityVoice on Twitter. Ducks take a tough loss tonight, 5-1 to the Colorado Avalanche, courtesy an 8-minute or so sequence where they popped four goals on us end of the first period into the second. I like the effort, but I don't think the Ducks were able to keep pace tonight with the Colorado Avalanche. They've just got too much for us unless we build an early lead and keep it going. Okay, so I will talk to you Thursday. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to Duck Calls, and we will reconvene Thursday night against the Seattle Kraken. Don't forget to listen to all the stuff on DuckStream. Got Alexis Downey doing a great job with all that stuff. You got Ken French and so much more. Thank you for listening. Have a good night.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more, so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Duck Stream game.
Shoot, score!
Hear it here on TuneIn.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
drive, score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think market's overreacting to this,
music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
News, will of the people, world tour. April 12th, Honda Center. News. With special guests, Evanescence. And Highly Suspect, will of the people, the new album, available now.